Moncrief on News Talk.
On most streets in Ireland, it's difficult to avoid them, and they've been known to turn up at doorsteps as well. There's a dazzling array of charities competing for your money, on top of which there are also the poor souls going door to door trying to lure you into switching energy provider. Can we never get a moment's peace? The GP and independent columnist Maura Trasandy-Callagh has been pondering this. Maura, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Sean. How are you?
When you meet them going down the street, what's your strategy, or do you have one?
Oh, my strategy is to look down, look sideways, look at the horizon, look at the sky, look anywhere. Never make eye contact. If you make eye contact, you are screwed. You are stuck. That is it. They're going to walk alongside you. They're going to follow you. They're going to go into the changing room with you as you try on your clothes if you're shopping. So, like, there's no point.
That's is my it that strategy. Bad? Because I know. Well, I wonder about because I look them in the eye and say no, thank you.
I hate saying no. That's my preference.
You see, I just wonder, is it a gender thing that they feel they can kind of maybe harass a woman a bit more in this way? Maura, are you there? Oh my God, the line's gone down.
Oh, I'm back.
You're back, are you? I thought maybe somebody'd rung your doorbell there for a second and you couldn't say no.
It's terrible. I'm awful at saying no. But I do find if you do walk very officiously and look like you're walking with a purpose, they're less likely to stop you. You know, we know the different spots around town where they like to hang out. The top of Grafton Street, down by our own College Green, you know, smiling around O'Connell Street. Can I ask you a question? And then when you think you're safe and you get home, somebody's ringing on your doorbell looking for money or looking for you to swap your energy provider.
Yeah.
It's nonstop.
It is nonstop. And I like, to be honest, I feel because the charity ones, when you do see somebody talking to them, the person who stopped to talk to them is just going, I either A, want to get the phone number of this person because I fancy them, or, you know, I'm a bit lonely and I could do with a chat.
You would wonder.
Yeah, because I don't know if they get any money.
You would wonder, like, they must make money. Why else would they persist with it? Either that or when I was kind of reading up on this, I had a quick Google. There were some articles written. For example, The Guardian had a few articles published in the last few years where people had tried to do this as a money earner, you know, and what they found was they survived a day, maybe a week, maybe 2 weeks, and then fresh meat were coming in every few weeks. Because I'd imagine it has to be soul-destroying as a job. It would have to be. And that's the other reason why I don't want to be rude. These are nice people who are just trying to earn a crust as much like you and me.
Sure. No, absolutely. And no, but I think possibly that one of the difficulties is that because, you know, so many of us don't want to say no. And then one day you're harassed and you're walking down the street and you keep getting interrupted by, you know, these people. And then something far more unfortunate than no thanks might come out, you know.
Potentially. You know, when you're on your last nerve. And I find, at least when you're walking down the street, you can walk away. And that's, I find for me, the biggest difficulty is the front door, because it just goes against my nature completely to say no thank you and close the door. It just feels so final and rude and Coronation Street throwing somebody out of the Rovers, you know, and yeah. I just don't want to do it.
But especially like, because it's usually in the evening and they're knocking on the door and people are making the dinner or putting the kids to bed or doing homework and all those kinds of things.
Oh my goodness, it was only the evening. Even this morning when I was speaking to Daniela, one of the researchers on your team, I hung up with Daniela, and just as I hung up, the doorbell rang and I said, oh great, that's my first patient. And I went out and it was a poor unfortunate trying to sell me energy. I was like, no, that was not the time.
And the harder thing is that, you know, if they go, you switch to whatever provider, sure, who knows what, you know, I can barely remember who I buy my electricity from. And I'm not going to stand at the doorstep trying to kind of defend them to somebody who's armed with some sort of argument about how their one is better.
Especially at the moment where it kind of feels like every bill is just getting more expensive regardless. And I know the consumer champions are going to be screaming at the radio, you should speak to these, you could reduce your bill. But at 7:30 at night or 11:30 in the morning, be me at work or I'm working from home or I'm at home with the baby or I'm just trying to watch Coronation Street and see who is being thrown out of the Rovers. I don't want to talk about my energy bill at that point. It's just, I'm not going to do it, but I just don't want to be mean and I do struggle. But I found as well, they have gotten more persistent. It's like, can I come back at a better time? Like, there is no better time. When is a good time? You know, you find yourself stuttering and stammering and eventually, maybe I'm not being rude, but I do feel like the rudest person in the world when I just say, I'm sorry, this is just not a good time, bye-bye. And I try and close the door as softly as I can. But it's just, I am never going to give my direct debit details to somebody. Like, it's just not going to happen. But they're even ringing you. Even to the point if you donate by text. And that's one thing that I really did not like. I donated by text to one charity, a very prominent children's charity, an international charity. And then a few weeks later, I began getting phone calls from another children's charity. And I kind of inquired where they got my number, and turned out I was on a database, which I did not like. And even if you do give, just because I gave money by text last week doesn't mean I have money this week, you know. And then you feel terrible because it's a children's charity. There's a reason why I gave money. I wanted to help, but I just cannot be helping all the time. And when I do choose to help, I want to choose the time to help. And also the overall, if there's any begrudgery in my complaint, it's that for a lot of these services, we should be getting them anyway for the taxes we're paying, and we're not. And that makes me angry too. It does make me angry that poor charities are going from door to door trying to get people to pay for services we should be getting for what we're funding this country for anyway.
Well, I suppose it's a bigger point, I suppose. But it is, it often strikes me, it's kind of sad that all these charities who are, for the most part, doing, you know, genuine work, and they dispatch these people out into the street to kind of beg in a, you know, it's a different form of begging. But it's there. It's kind of this desperation to keep things going.
Absolutely. And your heart will go out because you do know people who've benefited from these charities. Great work is being done. And I don't begrudge any of these people, you know, making their money. It's just I hate when it comes to my doorstep and I can't say no, because, and I think the vast majority of people would agree with me that we're not going to hand over our details to somebody who just comes to the door. We're not going to just hand over a 50. You'd be worried potentially about potential vulnerabilities by people who might. But obviously it must yield results or they wouldn't persist, especially when it comes to the energy provider. I'm assuming the energy companies are not paying people and putting diesel into cars or potential electricity into cars now around the country to go door to door unless with yielding something.
Yeah, I found that the energy ones are pushier.
Yes.
There's maybe a, in a, if you give them even a chink, they do that thing that you said, that they come back. You say, I'm busy right now. And then, you know, they barely let you finish a sentence and they're back at the door in an hour's time.
Exactly. Or they're back the following day or the following week. Another one knocks on the door and says, my colleague was here last Wednesday. It wasn't a good time. Is it a good time now? And unfortunately, when you work on when you live on a housing estate like I do, you are fresh, raw, ripe meat for them because they can go door to door. Back in the day when I lived in Dublin, I lived in an apartment block and there was two gates and a door to protect me. I can't have that anymore.
There probably are parts of the country where, you know, there's a lot of people living on estates and that's, you know, that's, they're probably tripping over each other. The different energy providers kind of having races to see who can get to doors first.
Actually have seen that at times. And also I feel bad, the poor presidential candidates and the canvassers, they're probably in the mix now as well. Wouldn't you be terrified if you were canvassing for somebody knocking on the door after seeing a gentleman leave wearing a lanyard in the estate and all go over screwed now?
Yes, and that's the thing. Second lanyards. Anyone could get a lanyard. You could say you're from anywhere with a lanyard. You can go into any old shop and make one.
I mean, who's going to prove it? What am I going to do?
Exactly.
How am I meant to prove that person is who they are? So for all those reasons, and also just time is so precious these days. And I just feel it's been stolen from us any which way we turn. And I just think your home should be the last bastion of peace. And I don't mind if somebody has a reason to come to the door. I really don't. But I just feel, I don't know, just the constant knocking on doors, change your service provider, please give me money. It's just wearing, and I think it's wearing on an emotional level because underneath it all, we all want to be nice people and we don't want to be seen as screwed. The worst thing you could do as an Irish person is being seen as miserly or tight.
Yeah. Maura, thanks a million for talking to us today. That was Maura Trasig-Nikali there.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.